Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
I want to read one verse of scripture from the book of Daniel chapter 4, and I love how we just finished with Yahweh, the Most High God. Listen to this. At the end of the 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked to heaven. I was given my mind back. How many of you have been given your mind back since you met Jesus? Thank God. I was given my mind back, and I blessed the High God. Now we're talking. I blessed the High God, thanking and glorifying God who lives forever. His sovereign rule lasts and lasts. His kingdom never declines and falls. Aren't you glad you're part of a kingdom that never declines and never falls? Amen. We're starting with Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king of the Babylonian Empire. He reigned from 605 to 562 BC. Nebuchadnezzar was renowned for his military prowess, his conquest of Syria and Palestine. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem, and he initiated the Babylonian captivity. Nothing or no one could stop him, or so it seemed. The transformation of Babylon into a magnificent, fortified city. Nebuchadnezzar built the famous Ishtar Gate and the Hanging Gardens, which were his most famous achievements. In fact, these both were considered wonders of the world at that time. The Hanging Gardens, as depicted here, was an engineering marvel of its time, with multi-level, lush green terraces. It had cascading water systems and exotic plants brought in from all over the world, designed to resemble a mountain. Nothing had ever been seen like this before. This was the work of Nebuchadnezzar. And although the greater part of the world thought of Nebuchadnezzar as the mightiest of all kings, in fact, some, quite a number, believed that he was even divine, this king had major issues in his life. Namely, Nebuchadnezzar was full of pride and he was arrogant. And in fulfillment of the prophetic word that was spoken over Nebuchadnezzar by Daniel, and you can read all about it in the book of Daniel, God humiliated this Babylonian king. And he did so through a 7-year period of insanity. Daniel prophesied that for 7 years, this man would become insane. Thus, most powerful, most highly respected king, because of his pride. God hates pride. It was pride that caused Lucifer to fall. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. The very moment that Lucifer stood up and said, I will be like God, it was like a trap door fell opened under him and he fell from heaven. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. That's how fast Lucifer fell, because God hates pride. Pride is the currency of the kingdom of darkness. And so this man, Nebuchadnezzar, this king, this great king, became insane for 7 years. He lived out in the fields with wild donkeys. He ate grass like a cow. His body every day would be drenched with dew. The Bible says his hair was as long as eagle feathers, and his nails were like a bird's claws. Think about this for just a moment. All because of his pride. This man went from this high place. Verse 34 is what I want to focus on for this introduction. It says, at the end of 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked to heaven. It kind of struck me, why wait till the end? It's like when Moses went to Pharaoh and told him that there would be frogs all over the land. When do you want me to come and get rid of the frogs? And Pharaoh said, come tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. You know, it's hard to understand people sometimes. And at the end of 7 years, why not at the end of the first year? But at the end of the 7 years, thank God, he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked to heaven. And the result of that one look, think about this, I looked to heaven. And the result of that one look, which he made after 7 long years, was the restoration, first of all, of his mind. He said, I was restored in my mind. I was healed in my mind. And then he recognized at the end of 7 years, I looked to heaven and I began to recognize and submit to God's supreme authority, the Most High God. He is the Most High God. And then he came to understand that his, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom was not the greatest. He came to the understanding that God's kingdom is the greatest, and it endures from generation to generation. One look, I looked to heaven. I want to focus on that phrase for just the next few moments. Looked to heaven. And I want the Spirit of the Lord to challenge us today, because this is Mission Sunday. God put this word in my heart. I have such a desire to deliver it to the best of my ability so that it can really bring us to some understanding. Looked to heaven. The word looked means to lift up, to raise. It means to fix one's eyes onto. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. To lift up, the man's been eating grass for 7 years. For 7 years, he's been eating grass. But at the end of 7 years, I don't know what clicked, but he's realized, you know, I don't like this grass. I don't know what happened, but he lifted his eyes. He fixed his eyes. He looked to heaven, and his life was totally changed. You read the story, he was restored to his kingdom, and he sent a decree. He sent a decree out through his entire empire that this God is the true God. This is the God that's to be worshiped. One look. Oh, I want to talk to you today about looking to heaven and lifting up your eyes, friend. It's not over for you. I want to tell you, it's not over for you. You may be staring at grass today. You may be staring at something unpleasant, but look to heaven. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Look to Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, I've studied this. This is a rich, rich study. I've been studying it this week, looking to heaven. It's a phrase that lifting up the eyes, looking to heaven is a phrase. In fact, throughout the course of biblical history, it's a phrase from Scripture. Throughout the course of biblical history, looking to heaven, it often meant the difference between dynasties cities, even nations rising or falling. Perhaps it was a large army coming against the people of God. And as Jehoshaphat said, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon you. When the Midianites were in the land without number, and our eyes are upon you. You go through and study looking to heaven, and you will find, just as I've stated, victory in battle, success in completion of God-ordained plans. Read the book of Nehemiah. I looked to heaven. I looked to God. Oh, God, be pleased with me. Nehemiah, it's over and again. You can read in the scripture how looking to heaven is incredible. But I want to focus specifically in these next moments that I have with you. And I want to get it, bring it down to where kind of where we are more specifically. And to do so, I want you to understand from the ancient of times, looking to the heavens has been the sole method of travel, both across land as well as circumventing the globe through uncharted waters. It's from ancient times, looking to heaven has been the sole source or method for traveling across new territories, perhaps undiscovered, traveling across the oceans. To navigate involves a lot of staring at the skies, looking to heaven. The MVP of navigation is Polaris, or the North Star, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Cross, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. The North Star. If you find the North Star, you have found true north. The terminology that's used and has been used for centuries in finding Polaris, in finding the North Star, using a sextant or other navigational instruments to determine your location, the terminology used is to take a fix. You take a sextant and you are about to take a fix. Now, please keep your let's keep our mind and our terminology straight here. I know that to take a fix in today's world is not necessarily what to take a fix was all of these centuries. So we're not going to go there, right? You know, it's amazing how the devil can take great terms, terminology, and twist it. And that's kind of twisted right there. So to take a fix is using the sextant now to look at your distance and see the degrees for your latitude. Find out where you are. Fixes were consistently taken all throughout every journey that was made. At night, the fix would be taken onto the North Star or the Southern Cross. During the day, the fix would be taken on the sun to ascertain where the vessel was on course or off course. Now, with that in mind, listen to the following scriptures, because I'm about to introduce to us the North Star of the Church of Jesus Christ. Always true, always direct, never varies. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus drew near and said to them, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age. What do we know this as? What is the terminology here? What is this called? This is called what? The Great Commission. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ to us, His church. This, the Great Commission, is the foundational, unchanging, imperative mandate of the Church of Jesus Christ. From the time these words were spoken by Jesus until today, they have never varied. They have never changed. The Great Commission of Jesus serves as the North Star, the Polaris, for all the activities of the church. The commission, the last words of Jesus Christ to his disciples, commissioning them to go into all the earth, that serves as the North Star for the church of Jesus Christ. Just as the North Star guides travelers, the Great Commission navigates the church through changing times, through changing seasons, ensuring that our focus remains on expanding God's kingdom in the earth. No matter how far we may venture or sail or even be blown off course, the Great Commission is the North Star, and we must take a fix to see if we as individuals, if we the Church of Jesus Christ are on course, or have we been caught up with trends? Have we been caught up and have we been distracted? Have we allowed things to blow us off the course? The Great Commission is the North Star. It's the Southern Cross in the Southern Hemisphere. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ, everything focuses there. When you're in uncharted waters, it doesn't matter. It's still there. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ, it centers on making disciples. Not converts, not just converts, but making disciples. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ has the fulcrum. The pivotal point is making disciples of all nations through going, baptizing, and teaching obedience to Jesus' commands. The Great Commission unites believers in a common goal beyond our local concerns, our local issues, our local problems and challenges. The Great Commission of Jesus Christ unites us in a common goal beyond those concerns. It's not that perhaps those concerns are important, but so many times local concerns can distract us, can blow us off as we journey through life. It's so very easy to get caught up with local concerns. So that's when we need to take a fix. When you're in uncharted waters, when everything around you is chaotic, when everything is distracting, when everything is coming apart, or perhaps on the other hand, the wind has caught your sail and you are moving places, you're encountering breakthroughs, you're encountering tremendous provision. You went through a season where everything is turmoil, everything is upside down, and there are, I'm sure, those here in that situation today. Others, you're now sailing, now you're moving, now you're cutting the water, now you're seeing something. You know what I've learned in my life? That many times the breakthroughs and the big provisions can take me off course, far greater than the chaos. Much quicker than the trials, much quicker than the pain. You know why? Because when I'm in chaos and when I'm in trials and I'm in struggle, I'm looking to heaven. I'm very sensitive. I'm calling to the Lord. But when my sails fill and I begin to move, I somehow kind of put my eyes out here on where I'm going and how exciting it is. And somehow I'm just not in that place of staying upward looking to heaven. I know there's probably no one else like that here, but I just had to get that off my chest. Wherever you might be today on your journey, as a member of Christ Church, I want to invite you to look to heaven. I want to challenge you to look to heaven, and I want you to fix your focus on Christ's global cause. If I have a task today in these moments that I have with you, I want to challenge us as a church, in the midst of everything that's going on around us, that we stay fixed, that we look to heaven, we fix our eyes, our focus on Christ's global cause. That's why we're here. When Christ saved you and me, he did not immediately translate us to heaven. That would have been wonderful, wouldn't it? But no, he chose to leave us in this place for a purpose, that we might involve ourselves in his cause. How can I make the Great Commission the North Star of my life? I want to get practical with us in these closing moments. How can I make the North Star, the Great Commission, the North Star of my life? How can I take these Christ's last command and make it my first priority? How can I, as an individual of the Church of Jesus Christ, keep my focus and keep my passion, keep my purpose, keep the fire, keep myself in tune with the Spirit? How can I, as an individual in the Church of Jesus Christ, be a useful tool in his hand to impact the life of others? How can the Great Commission of Jesus Christ become the North Star, the Polaris of my life? Number one, the first words of Jesus Christ that were spoken in this, the Great Commission, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Face to face, here it is, the authority behind the mission. How can I make the Great Commission the North Star of my life? I must surrender to the authority of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. That's my beginning point. That's where I push offshore. That's where the journey begins. He is Lord of my life. Whatever he commands, I do. I yield to him fully and completely. How can I make the Great Commission the North Star of my life? I surrender to his lordship. So if there are areas in my life where I'm not surrendering, I need to take a fix. If there's areas in my life where I'm still ruling, I need to fix my focus. I need to take a fix. I need to find out how far off course am I. The command, this Great Commission, rests on the understanding that through Christ, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. To him. He is the head of the church. He bled. You did not. He bled. His side was pierced. Yours was not. He is the head of the church. He wore a crown of thorns. He took our place. It should have been us. We should have been on that cross. We put him there. But he went willingly. So all authority, all glory, all power, all honor belongs to him. I am his servant. I am at his command. Wherever he sends me, I go. Whoever he wants me to speak to, I do. I have no option. I have no choice. I have made him Lord. This is the beginning point of the Great Commission, to make the Great Commission the North Star of your life. It always is true north. The Great Commission is the true north of the church. You can get caught up in all of these trends and all of these things, but listen, it comes back to go, make disciples. The mission is not human driven, but it is empowered by the resurrected Christ. So take a moment with me. Look to heaven right now and ask yourself. I want to give you some questions to ask. Always helps when we have a few questions. And regarding the authority of Jesus Christ, that's our launching. That's where we launch from. Is my day-to-day living coming under his lordship? Is my day-to-day living coming under his lordship? Coming under his command? Secondly, the core mandate, which gives us the why. The why. Church, once we surrender to his authority and his lordship, we immediately must address the why. And at the very core of the Great Commission, at the very core of the why, we have a main action verb. And the main action verb in the Great Commission is make disciples. Make disciples. It doesn't say go plant churches. It says make disciples. It doesn't say go raise up great events and have big seminars and big. It says make disciples. The why of everything is to make disciples. Why do we do what we do? Once I have surrendered and committed myself to the authority of Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the Lord of all, I am his slave, I am his servant, then I must begin to look at the very core. I must begin to look at the why. Why did Jesus hang on that cross? Why did he do this for us? So that disciples could be made. This involves transforming followers. To make a disciple, it means that the follower is transformed into obedient, mature believers. This involves each of us, not simply left to the hired clergy, to the leadership of the church. We are all under mandate. If Jesus Christ truly is your Lord and Savior, you are under mandate just like I am. There's none of us exempt. So it involves transforming followers into obedient, mature believers who in turn make more disciples. So here's a question to ask yourself. What is the why of my life? What is the why of my life? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I going where I'm going? Why am I running this rat race like I'm running? Why? Just stop, look to heaven, and just ask, what is the why of my life? Next, as we go through the commission, the scope and the strategy of the Great Commission, which gives us the where and the how. The scope and the strategy of the Great Commission. It's an amazing commission. It's supernatural. It truly is supernatural. Everything about Jesus is supernatural. The target is all nations. The target is all nations. Notice he said, go then to all peoples everywhere, to all nations, and make them my disciple. My disciples. That's the scope and the strategy. That's the where and the how. You see, you have to have the why first, followed by the how. In our insight training, we always start with the why, and we end up with the how. You can't put the how first. You've got to have the why. Why? Make disciples. Make disciples. Boss, watcha. Now, where? All nations. That word is ethne. Ethne means people groups, not just individuals, people groups. Yet, it is propagated one individual at a time. The Great Commission goes forth one individual at a time. We may preach to a large congregation and 1,000 people come forward, but every one of them will receive this transformation of life individually. We deal with everyone on an individual basis. You with me? So it involves going to them, baptizing them, and teaching obedience. This is the how. Baptism, teaching, training describes the ways that the main action is carried out. What is the main action? Make disciples. Where? To all nations. How? Baptizing, teaching, training. These are the descriptive ways on how to get this done. These provide the how to the verb make disciples. This is the how. So take a moment. Look to heaven right now and ask, where am I in the scheme of things? Where am I in the scheme of things? Ask yourself, is it all about me? Come on, look up to heaven. Is it all about me? Come on, let's get real. We're talking about making the Great Commission the North Star of your life, because I want to tell you right now, the Great Commission is the North Star of the church, and you're part of the church. We are the church. It's not this nice, beautiful building that we have. Don't you love our nice, beautiful building? But that's what it is. It's a nice, beautiful building. You and I are the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ask yourself, how am I doing in lining up my priorities to his last command? How am I doing? Look to heaven and say, how am I doing in lining up my priorities to your last command? Jesus, anything you want to tell me? Jesus, head of the church, through the Holy Spirit, anything you want to, how are my priorities lining up, sir, to your last command? Come on, take a fix. Take a fix right now. Look up to heaven. Find the North Star, which is the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens with the church, it will always come back to Matthew chapter 18, 29 and verse 30. It will always come back to the Great Commission. Preachers come, preachers go. Singers come, singers go. It always comes back. Are you making disciples? Are you taking time with someone, helping them to learn, helping them to grow, praying with them, imparting truth to them, standing with them? I'm not talking about some casual, oh yeah, I'm standing with you, brother. You count on me. I'm talking about making an investment. Come on, you truly want the Great Commission to be the North Star of your life? Next is the promise. The promise. There's a promise in the Great Commission. Jesus said, and I will be with you always to the ends of the earth. This reveals the what. The what. The promise reveals the what. The core mandate reveals the why. The scope and the strategy reveals the where and the how. The promise of his presence reveals the what. You see, this mission is backed by the promise of Jesus's persistent presence. I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the what. Nothing else matters but his presence. You walk into a place and you have the presence of God in your heart and your life. You walk into your office and the presence of God is on you. That's the what. That's the what right there. Jesus is with you. And people look at you and they see hope in your life. They look at you when everything is going crazy and they see peace in your eyes. That's the what. That's the presence of. And they will ask you, what? What's going on? What's caused you to be so happy today? What's made you so peaceful today? Open door right there. So ask yourself, do I carry his presence into my world? Come on, you want the Great Commission to be the North Star of your life? Ask this question. Do I carry his presence into my world? If it's been a while since you've been in the presence of Jesus, take a fix. Come on, take a fix. Find out where your ship is, man. Listen, I want to tell you, the Great Commission has guided the old gospel ship through century after century after century. And it's God is faithful. He'll guide you. When everybody's tried to, enemies of the past have tried to destroy the church, it cannot be destroyed. Come on, because Jesus is the head of the church. And he rose above destruction and death. And come on. And then finally, the call to action. The call to action. The commission is not for a select few, as I've already mentioned, but it is for every believer to actively participate by sharing the gospel. By sharing the gospel. For the goal of extending Christ's kingdom. It is the ultimate purpose that keeps the church from becoming comfortable or inward focused. Where we become inward focused. God, give us a love for your last words that were spoken to your people. Jesus, give us a love and a passion for the Great Commission. So ask yourself, am I looking to heaven? Come on, just take a moment and ask yourself, am I looking to heaven or am I looking elsewhere? Am I looking to heaven, aligning my life to the global cause of Christ? You may be one of those today that, wow, everything around you is hazy, everything around you is dark, things are crazy, you're in the midst of a huge storm and you're looking out everywhere, you're trying every method, or you may be one of those here today, it's smooth sailing in your life right now, but I want to just end by this and with this this understanding, it really doesn't matter. Just stop wherever you are and look to heaven. How powerful. How powerful is it when we look to heaven? This morning I was reading of a young man, an amazing man. A man full of faith. Whom the Bible says, in his dying moments. Now things may be bad around you right now, but you're here, you're breathing. This is a young man found, his story is found in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and verse 55. as he was about to lose his life. Come on, I want to show you the power of looking to heaven. I want to show you the result. If you'll just take a moment in your difficult situation, because in those moments, our purpose can easily be lost, or our purpose can be shaken. And God has a plan and a purpose for where you are even now, that he might be glorified. And the Bible says this young man whose name was Stephen, he became the first martyr of the church of Jesus Christ. And as they had taken stones, put in their hands, and they're stoning him, verse 55 of Acts chapter 7, I was reading it earlier this morning. As they're beginning to stone him, the Bible says that Stephen lifted his eyes, and it says he looked to heaven. And when he looked to heaven, he began to cry out, "Behold, the heavens are open." He's shouting to everyone in his dying breaths, "Behold, the heavens are open, and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." In Scripture, we never see Jesus standing at the throne. He's always seated at the throne of his Father. But to receive the first martyr of the church, Jesus stood personally to welcome him home. And by one man in his dying moments, and you're not there, but in his dying moments, he looked to heaven. And what was the result of that man's look to heaven as he was dying? The result was a man called Paul the Apostle. You never know. If you will just take a moment, regardless of your situation, stop everything and lift your eyes and look to heaven. As he did, there was a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus who was actually holding Stephen's clothes, who later became Paul the Apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, who reached the entire known world of the day as a missionary for Jesus Christ by one man looking to heaven at the time of his death. Can you give Jesus a mighty ovation of praise today? To the head of the church, come on, to the captain of the host, to the commander-in-chief, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, who we surrender. I pray, Father, wherever we may be in our journey with you, we will never forget our purpose for which you've called us. God, may we rally as your people. May we lift our eyes and look to the heavens. God, may we lay hold of the understanding once more of your authority, of your passion, of your power. Lord, that we will come to realize afresh the why, the where, the how, the what. That we are an integral part of your plan and your purposes in extending your kingdom in this earth. Forgive us, Father, for earthly distractions. Forgive us, Father, for allowing our eyes to drift away, allowing our lives to be removed from center line. God, we come back today to you. We lift up our eyes and fix them on you, focusing, oh God, on this global cause of Christ in the earth. We make ourselves available to use us, oh God, in every way possible for your honor and for your glory. Let us make eternal difference in the lives of others, seeing them brought to full maturity and strength, who can in turn go out and do the same for others. I thank you for your strength today, your encouragement today, your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let the church be the church, everybody. Let the church be the church. Let's go out and have an amazing week. If you're stuck in traffic this week, instead of fussing at the Matatu driver, why don't you just look up to heaven? Why don't you just lift your eyes this week? Come on, somebody. And just be fixed on Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. Have an amazing week. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.